I want to talk this morning about planting seeds. We start with the parable of the sower. We find it in Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 29. It says, "And he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on the stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But the other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" So, as I read this scripture, I have the picture of the person just walking through the field, scattering the seed, you know, sowing seed. And you think about, a farmer is, a lot of it is just going to be scattering seed. But also, he knows that the seed that's going to be wasted is not going to be productive, right? So they're kind of careful. But if you go back, you can go back as far. We read about Elisha, when Elisha got called to follow Elijah, way back in 1 Kings, I believe it is. That he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. So they, way back then, they knew about plowing fields. They knew about taking care of that. They knew about the agriculture. So they were tending to that. And also in the law, in Leviticus, it talked about how when you harvested your field, you had to leave the corners for the poor. That the poor would come and glean, and the poor and the strangers in the land would come and glean the crops, you know, that you weren't allowed to go and get every last little bit of it. So agriculture was a part of their society for thousands of years. So as Jesus is talking about going out and planting seed, and he's talking about some of the seed falling by the wayside and the birds of the air getting it, and some falling among the stones, the stony ground where it doesn't have any depth, and some falling among the thorns. You know, they've been tending fields for a long time, and these things are still there. And I got to thinking about this. The picture that's on the front of the bulletin shows somebody a little more carefully planting seeds rather than just broadcast scattering it. And I got to think about knowing that what we're going to read a little bit later about the seed being the Word of God. And I got to thinking about how God has called each and every one of us to plant seeds. Each and every one of us to water seeds. And there's different ways of doing it. Sometimes it's kind of targeted. Sometimes we get an opportunity to just sit down and talk with somebody and let them know Jesus loves them. We get an opportunity to sit down and talk with somebody, and they're having a hard time in their life, and we get a chance to minister to them, a chance to share the love of God with them. And then sometimes it's just, you see street preachers or something like that. They're just talking. They're talking, and whoever happens to come by, it's that broadcast seeding, you know? Sharing the Word of God is an important thing, and we're each and every one of us called to do that, but we're also given different gifts and different opportunities on how to do that. Not everybody can stand up on a street corner anybody can, but not everybody will stand up on a block on a street corner and just preach the Word of God. But we all have an opportunity somehow in some situations where we can share the love of God with people, where we can come and interact one-on-one and do some targeted, not necessarily have the mindset of, oh, I got to go tell this person about Jesus. No, let's go begin building relationships and let the love of God and the Spirit of God working through us begin making an impact in people's lives. There's going to be different ways of sharing the Word of God, but it's still one planting, well, I'll get to that in a little bit, but it's still planting the seeds. It's still sharing what God has done in my life with somebody else. But before we get all wrapped up in And here I have this opportunity. Recognize where the seed comes from. Recognize that God is the one who has given us the abilities, whatever our abilities are, to whether it's to speak well or to be, maybe we have a certain skill set that would put us in environments where we encounter specific people. As a computer tech, there's some people that you're going to talk to that you might not interact with, because they don't live in your community, they're not part of that, but all of a sudden here I am, and I have an opportunity just to talk with somebody, working at the border or whatever. There's going to be opportunities just to interact with people, going to different meetings or whatever it is that we do. There's opportunities that God brings people in our path. And if we're always ready to just be friendly, if we're always ready just to have a kind word for somebody, if we're always ready to look for opportunities to be a blessing, God will give us opportunities to plant seeds. God will give us opportunities to interact with people and make an impact in their lives. The question is, are we willing to look for those opportunities and take them when they arrive? In Isaiah 55, beginning with verse 6, I'm checking this. Yes, I do have this on. Thought I had it on, but I'd forgotten about that. In Isaiah 55, beginning with verse 6, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and for he will abundantly pardon." And we could just stop right there and pause right there for just a minute. That's a call to everybody to seek the face of the Lord. A call to everyone. Let the wicked forsake his way. How many of us have been wicked? How many of us have been wicked this week? Let the wicked forsake his way. There's an opportunity to draw close to the Lord each and every day. And we don't always take it, but he has promised to pardon. John says, if we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God, there's a way I don't have to be as messed up as I was. And I'm not as messed up as I was. I'm messed up, don't get me wrong. But I'm not as messed up as I was. I'm not the person that I used to be. It's like Paul saying, the good that I want to do, I don't seem to be able to do. And the bad things I don't want to do, I seem to keep doing. Lord, have mercy on me. Who will save me from this body of sin? I thank my God for Jesus Christ the righteous. He is able to lead us and guide us and work in us. Are we willing to go before him? Lord, I messed up. I messed up again. Father, I sinned. I've fallen short. I need your grace. I need your love. I need your mercy. And I need your direction. Lead me and keep me. Going back to here, verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Again, stop for just a second. How many times do we try to put God in a box? Says God has to do something such and such a way. How many times have we been right in that? It took a long time. I finally understood relatively recently that Job's problem wasn't really that much different than the prosperity gospel that we have going around today. If you do such and such, God is obligated. And God told Job, "I'm obligated? Wait a minute. Where were you when I formed the earth? Do you know where I put the line that says the sea can only come this far?" But that's the prosperity gospel that we hear today. If you give so much money, God has to give you so much money back. If you do this, God will have to do that. No, God has promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And God will give us the things that we need. God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. Some people say needs, that's not what it says. All of your need. The things that we need, God will provide and take care of us. Sometimes his understanding of what it is that we need are a whole lot different than what we're calling needs. But God is at work in the circumstances. He's the one who sees the end from the beginning. He's the one who knit us together in our mother's womb, knows everything about us, knows the path that's before us. David said, all of my days are written in the book, were written in your book before ever any of them were. He says, God, you know where I'm going. You know how I'm going to get there. You know the path I'm going to take. Remember, David, a man after God's own heart, is the same guy who committed adultery and committed murder. Still a man after God's own heart. It's not in the perfection of our actions. It's, do we have a heart willing to seek God? Do we have a heart willing to draw near to Him, to ask Him to touch us and change us? Verse 10, for the rain comes down, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, that it may bring forth bud and may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's word going forth is going to prosper and is going to be fruitful in what He sent it to do. Again, it goes back to, are we trying to put God in a box and say things have to be just in such and such a way? We just read in the parable of the sower, and we haven't got to the explanation yet, but we read in the parable of the sower that some of the seed fell on the path and the birds of the air came and got it. And then some of the seed fell amongst stony ground, and it sprung up, but quickly withered. And some of the seed fell among thorns, and it sprung up, but got choked out. And then some of the seed brought forth fruit. But it's all the same seed. It's all from the same source. The sower going forth to sow the seed. And every last bit of it, it's not always doing what we think it ought to do. And when we get into the explanation, I'll go into that a little bit further. But think about that. That the things that we say and the things that we do don't always seem to have an impact. If we're kind to somebody, if we give them a smile, if we see somebody that needs help and we reach out and help them, and we don't get an immediate reward, does that mean we don't get a reward? How about if we see somebody that's in need and we help them financially? The Bible says, he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord and the Lord will repay. Well, if my bank account doesn't get an unexpected check, am I saying that the scripture's not right? No, I'm not. If I do that, then I'm trying to put God in a box and saying how he has to fulfill his word, how he has to answer. And God's not going to do that. Ask Job. One day I will, by the way. But God's not going to do that. He's not going to sit there and be put in a box. A tangent I don't need to get on. So, completely. I've been told I have a wealth of useless knowledge, so... Sometimes I will get off track. I want to get back onto track. I want to talk to you about planting seeds and how we just read there in Isaiah about the fact that it's God through the providing of the rain and providing of the snow that waters the earth, that provides the seed to the sower and bread to the eater. It's God who makes the provision. Everything we have is a gift from God. Whether it's our ability to think, as Scripture says in one place, that it's God who gives you the ability to make wealth. Everything we have, even the very breath that we breathe, is a gift from God. And we should be grateful and thankful for what God has given, rather than try to sit there and figure out what's the best way to make use of it. Let's allow God to direct our steps. In 1 Corinthians 3, beginning with verse 1, Paul, talking to the Corinthian church, says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able." Paul is talking to this church that he's been ministering to for years, and they're still areas that they're not getting it, they're not understanding. And he says, you should be growing, but there's times where you're not. Any of us ever feel like we're just completely overwhelmed by the things of God? You know, scripture comes out and it's like, well, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Sometimes things that are very, very plain in one context and another context, all of a sudden just, they click. I've talked before about how one day, all of a sudden, God had wrote in the scripture that says, unless you forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Will not forgive you. I guarantee you God didn't write it in for me that morning, but that morning it clicked. I'd been serving the Lord for years. And all of a sudden, that morning, it made an impact. The things of God will all of a sudden make an impact and make a change in our lives. Verse 3, for you are still carnal, for where there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? And I don't know the answer, okay? But does anyone have a guess how many Christian denominations there are today? So while there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal? There's divisions today where people will take and emphasize one little section of scripture and ignore another section of scripture and separate fellowship and pull away from people from that. I've talked many times about how quite a few years back now, but how the pastor of the First Baptist Church in St. Albans was arguing with the pastor of the Pentecostal pastor in St. Albans in the editorial pages of the local newspaper. St. Albans Messenger, they were letter to the editor and they're arguing back and forth about scripture. And their churches are a mile and a half apart. There seems to be a better way to come together rather than do something like that. But the division and the carnality that Paul talks about here to the Corinthians still takes place today. There's divisions in what we're supposed to be, the body of Christ, encouraging and strengthening one another. There's still these divisions. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? He says, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he who plants is anything, or he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. Paul says here that the important part is not who plants or who waters. The important thing is that the Word of God is going because it's God's plan to touch the hearts of people. God is the one who gives seed to the sower. God is the one who sends out His Word and will always do that which he has sent it forth to do. It will always be accomplished. So it's not the person who shares that should take credit. It's like, oh yeah, we had all these people come to the Lord under my crusade. Have you ever been to a big event? Anybody? Yeah. Deb and I had gone to a Joyce Meyer event in Albany a couple of years ago. Or the Franklin Graham at the fairgrounds. Is that 2 years ago now? Days run together. But two, three, a little while back. But the different events, and they're always, okay, who's made an initial confession of faith? And so many hands will go up, and they keep count. They keep a tally. It's not who the messenger is that plants seeds or that waters, but it's God who gives the increase. You know, I tell people all the time, there are no magic words. Abracadabra, Shazam, and in the name of Jesus, if that's all it is a set of words that you have to speak, has no power. When God says He exalts His Word even above all His name, we sang the song earlier, Lord of all the earth, we shout Your name, shout Your name. And it shows it, it comes up as Yahweh. If you look at the original and it is a tangent. I know it's a tangent, but it's an important tangent. So I get off on this tangent. In the original Hebrew, when you take a look at it, it's just the consonants. The name of God was considered so holy that the Jews would never pronounce it. So we don't know how it's pronounced. In the Old King James, it's translated as the Lord, all in uppercase. I've heard it pronounced as Yahweh. I've heard it pronounced as Jehovah. Honestly, we don't know. But when we recognize that it's not the actual words, it's the character, honor, and authority behind it. Jehovah Nisi, God our banner. Jehovah Sidkenu, God our righteousness. You know, all of these things are attributes of God. And I don't know if you saw it when we were singing the song, in the background, they had all of these different Hebrew names for God. And then later, you had all of these different titles for God. It's understanding that God is so much more than we can sit there and jot down with a pen and paper. And each and every one of us are more than we can just sit down and jot with a pen and paper. Start saying, well, who am I? Well, let's see. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I'm a great-grandfather. I'm retired. I'm a former computer tech. And just go down a list. But I'm never going to get everything that describes who I am. And you won't either. Each and every one of us. God has brought us through so many things by His Word working in us, by just the things He's brought us through to make us who we are. We are all unique individuals. We are all specially gifted and specially created by the hands of a sovereign, loving God. And each and every one of us is valuable and important to His plan and His purpose. And each and every one of us have assignments and we have tasks that are set before us. So each and every one of us will have opportunities to speak into somebody's life, to plant a seed or to water a seed, as it just says here in 1 Corinthians. Because we are uniquely created to do that. God's Word working in us, God's Word working through us, doing what He has in mind, not what we have in mind. Finally, back to the parable, Mark 4, beginning with verse 13. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables?" Like, this is the easiest one. If you don't get this one, the rest of them are going to whoop you. It says, the sower sows the word. Now think about that. The sower sows the word. And some of the word fell on the path. These are those by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, go back to what God said. My word will never return void or will never return vacant or empty. It will always do that I send it forth to do. Sometimes it's not meant to take root at that time. Sometimes when we speak into people's life, it's just going to go over their head. Sometimes it's just not going to have any impact at all and the enemy's going to snatch it away. That is still part of God's plan. If it was God's plan that every time the word was spoken, people were converted right there on the spot, well, for one thing, the church would be a whole lot fuller. But there's still things going on that we don't understand. We don't have all the questions, much less all the answers of what God is doing. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that is sown in their heart. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves, and endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Have you ever met somebody that was so excited about the things of God, and then just a little bit of opposition showed up, and oh no, I can't say anything. Have you ever been that person? Yet God is still at work. And these, now, verse 18, now these are the ones sown among thorns, that when they, the ones which hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. I read that verse, and I think about the rich young ruler. Remember the parable of the rich, or the rich young ruler came to Jesus and says, good master, what good things should I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus says, first off, why are you calling me good? No one's good but God. Then he said, keep the commandments. And the rich young ruler says, which ones? Like, do I have to keep them all? Come on. Just, you know, which ones? And Jesus started telling him, honor your father and mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not bear false witness. And he says, all of these things have I kept from my youth. And Jesus said, one thing you still lack. Sell what you have and give to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And he turned away sad because he was so wrapped up in the things that he had. This is the person who the word goes out, and the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world, desire for other things, choke out the world. You know, that's a really great word, but it's not really important enough to change my life. Praise God. God's word is important enough to change our life. And God's word, God is able to change our life. I praise God I'm not the person I used to be. My wife says if I was the person she knew back then, if she knew me back then, she would not know me now. Because I was messed up. I mean, I was real messed up. But God is still at work. But the ones that are, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Notice not everyone is as, they're not all the same level of productivity. They're not the same level of effectiveness. It's the same seed. It's given by God. It's going to do that which you sent forth to do. But it doesn't have the same effect in every life. So why would we think you're only that to minister to people, you have to look a certain way, or you have to act a certain way, or you have to be a certain way? Why do we think that you know, if it doesn't go down my checkbox, if it doesn't go down my list of what things are supposed to look like, it can't possibly be right? God will give us opportunities to speak into people's lives. And God will give us opportunities to encourage others to speak into people's lives. And God will give us into opportunities to strengthen one another in the body of Christ, because we're all important. We're all specifically gifted. I talked a minute ago about having that piece of paper and writing down all the things. If I wrote down all the things about me, first off, I wouldn't be able to list everything. Not because there's so many great things about me, but because I'm going to forget. I'm flawed. I forget things. Yet God has so much more in mind. God is the one who knows us completely. God is the one who has trained us and is working in us to fulfill His word. And His word shed abroad in our heart is not going to turn void, going to return void, is always going to do that which He sent it forth to do. He's going to give us opportunities to share His word. He's going to give us opportunities. Has been doing it, by the way. We haven't always taken the opportunity, but He has been doing it because God has been faithful the entire time. That I can guarantee you. You can write that in stone. God is faithful all the time and every time. It may not always look like what we think it ought to look like, because sometimes we'll put God in a box in our mind that God has to do things a specific way. But God is still God. He is still the creator of the heavens and earth. He's still the one who sees the end from the beginning. And He is still the one who loves you and knits you together in your mother's womb, knows everything about you, and wants that relationship with you deeper and deeper and deeper each and every day. And wants to show His love to you and through you to the people we encounter. We are called to be ambassadors of Christ, each and every one of us. We are called to sow seed. We are called to reach out. We are called to encourage one another. We are called to show God's love. And what He has called us to do, He is the one who's going to work in us to perform it, to do what He sent it forth to do. Praise God, it doesn't rely on flawed old me. It relies on God working through me to fulfill His word. God working through me to fulfill His plan. God working through me with those divine appointments, those people He brings across my path. God working through me to show His love to the people around me. God working through you to show His grace and show His mercy. You can walk into a church, and even if the roof falls on you, it's not going to kill you. Right, Jerry?
That's right.
You can walk into a church even after being messed up, and lightning's not going to strike you. Praise God. God is still at work, and we can praise Him through all of it, knowing that He is the one who began the good work, and He is the one who is faithful to complete it. In the meantime, we're called to plant seeds, to sow seeds. One plants, one waters. God gives the increase. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You, Father, that You've called each and every one of us to work for You and to come alongside You, Lord, to do Your perfect will, to show Your love, to show Your grace, to show Your mercy to the people around us, to be lights in the midst of darkness, and to be Your grace, to show Your love. Father, we give praise and thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen.